Thank you so much, Carly. Welcome to the Sunday night There is a Solution newcomer returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Loretta H., a compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Try unmuting again. There you go.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Sorry about that. Buttons confuse me because I push many buttons. So anyway, they really confuse me. Okay. Again, thank you all, and especially the newcomer, Jessica, who invited me, Catherine, who's facilitating this, and all of you that put your time in to help me recover. And you are precious, and you are keeping me alive along with my precious God. Every time I see a survivor of this disease, it makes me just so grateful. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the newcomer. So I am Loretta H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I've been in the rooms for the second time and out of the food for the second time since January 7th, 2001, and that adds up to 8,407 days. And I do it my daily count because for me, it is contingent on my spiritual condition one day at a time. So I never ever graduate and I keep it green. Somebody talked about Greenpeace the other day. So my story keeps it green, but also the newcomer keeps it green. So that's what gives me peace and serenity is helping others because this is a deadly, deadly disease and it's progressive. I'm 76 years old and I'm really surprised I'm alive because I've been through the trenches with this. So I'm going to quote some quotes before I begin my story, and I'm going to kind of tell you what I do because the first qualification I ever gave, I saw this in the Big Book and it was just so pertinent to my recovery and what my recovery has been about. So on page 124 in the family afterwards, this is my favorite quote in the Big Book because this is what I believe my safety has been. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avoid death and misery for them. What a great promise. And that is one of the promises, that I never ever shut the door on the past, but I don't live in the past today. I live in today. And then the other quote I've been using, just because right now everything is so confusing and scary, and I love Bill at the end of his story, and this is what I feel the program has done for me. At the end of his story, he talks about peace on earth and goodwill to all men. And that's page 18. And this is what I try to bring into each day. And I do that. I was going to first share about what I do every day. So my first thing is I still text my food. I don't know how to eat. My first sponsor was a nutritionist. I don't do food with anybody. I send them to a professional because I don't know how to eat. So abstinence for me also, my food plan is a tool and my abstinence is spiritual. And what I say about that is it's maintaining a healthy body weight, doing healthy food behaviors, and working this program every single day like it's the first day of my life. And that's the 12 steps. That and a higher power got me better. So, and then I am a sponsor. That's the gift that keeps on giving. It's priceless. And it's my immunity against that first bite, because I can't walk my talk unless I walk my talk. So I, you know, and then I have a prayer meditation practice. Last year, it changes all the time, but it's very important for me to at least have some sort of connection with God every morning. Like I call it a date with God, so that my will kind of can really get integrated and aligned with His will. And I do two-way prayer some mornings. Some mornings I just read literature and do some writings. Other mornings I may just, depending on what the day is like, I may just go for a walk and listen to the meetings and then come back and do some prayer and meditation when I get home. It's my, God has given me this ability to have a very flexible life in spite of the structure of it, because I really try to pause and use spiritual energy, just pray, you know, for His will. I'm retired and I did work for 35 years, so I had that option and that opportunity too. So anyway, and then ha like having had a spiritual awakening is my reason. You don't get that until, or I didn't get that until I worked all the steps. And today, with, I do 10, 11, and 12 daily. And I don't even know if it's maintenance. It's just a way to keep on track and keep understanding what God's will is for me and what my will shouldn't be. So, and that's, I do an 11 step every single night and I send it to a train. And all of you that are new, this sounds very confusing, but don't let it. It's just, you'll learn all this stuff. You'll see all these signs on meeting walls, you know, the steps and the slogans and all of this. But just, you're here because you're saving my life, number one. And then you're here to get better. And you will get better, because I suffered in this disease for 54 years. And I identify, I'm also in the beverage program, but I identify more in the big book to the schemes and scams and all the stuff that Bill did and all the founders did with my eating disorder, not my beverage disorder. So anyway, and just remember, especially when you come in here, because I remember I gave my food away the first day, the honest first day of honest day of work, where I was willing to tell somebody no lie about my food. And it was the first honest day of work I did. And I remember saying, oh my God, 54 years and I couldn't do this. How can I possibly think I could even do it forever? Because I think in forevers all the time. It's forever. And she said, no, just one day at a time, just one day. And that really kept me going, because as Dr. Bob says, in the, I really didn't get comfortable, because I'm also anorexic, around eating for about 2.5 years. But I took this book to bed with me. I went to a lot of meetings. I did a lot of service. And that's what kept me green, but also knowing that I had something to give to somebody, because this is what, in the end, you want to be a maximum service to God and others. So let me tell you my story, and then a lot of it's going to have a lot of the big book things in it. So I was born to a poor working class immigrant family in San Francisco, California. My mom was a cleaning lady and my dad was a cook, but it was a very affluent, because my mom actually went to church with Bing Crosby. So of course, never fit in, shame, all of that stuff. And I don't say that to be pretentious. I just say that that's the way it was. So anyway, and my dad was an alcoholic and they would fight. And I learned, because they're European and food was very, very There wasn't much. They went through two wars. There wasn't much food. So food was their way of showing love. So if I stopped eating, they stopped fighting. So I would do that. Okay. So then I go to first grade and I bring my lunch. And my parents actually had a garden and chickens and all this stuff. So everything was fresh. And I come to lunch the first day with my little lunch box. And somebody says, "Ooh, she has cooties because her food is bad." It's funny because my parents, they were eating the typical American lunch, which was not what I was used to. So for a whole year, and it started way back then. I would go across the street to Stephen Paris's house and copy his lunch so that I could fit in. And the food has always been a part of a negative for me. So long story short, I did that, but of course, because I didn't like the American lunch that most people ate, I get a nickel, I hope I can mention, for the milk money. And I would actually go to the convenience store and get all kinds of junk, even though I don't even like junk. By this time, I'm hungry. And that's really when the anorexia started, was not eating, then being hungry, not being able to eat appropriately in front of people because my food was funny. So I would eat their food, which was, if I had it today, I wouldn't want it. But anyway, so the energy and emotions in my family was all tied up in my dad's alcoholism. My parents worked three jobs. I wasn't a key latch kid, but my mother, she could actually worked in the fields too, and could come home because the fields were behind the house and feed us or for dinner and stuff. And then she'd go out and work on like just yeah. Anyway, so I learned to manipulate this insanity in like all my affairs. I even stole money in third grade, and there was an intervention with the teacher who was very kind to me and understood, that maybe this habit was because of what was going on in my home. She was lovely. Mrs. Turner was lovely. So the shame, never fitting in, always just not being a part of. So I went to college, and I actually, after college, was hired by an airline. I lived on the runway in San Francisco International Airport. So I wanted to become a flight attendant because that geographic was going to make me better. So I became a flight attendant in 1968. And in that time, we had actually weight restrictions where they actually scrutinized every part of my body. They even touched our behinds to make sure we had our girdles on and we had to maintain a certain weight and all of that. And it wasn't the job because I actually I like discipline, and I'm a kind of a perfectionist, and learned that that's very, very, very selfish. And today, because of my prayer meditation, I realize it's about connection and not perfection. And so that perfectionism with the steps and the work has enabled me to know that it's only about connection. And the connection with you and God are the most important thing to me. So anyway, I was hired by United, and I got down to the weight because I was almost fired because I had the freshman 15 on how it goes. So anyway, so I was on my toes. And then I met my husband, and he had an expense account. So this is where my drinking story comes in, but it's very part of my eating disorder because that's always. So he was on expenses and I had to stay skinny. And so when we went out to dinner, I wouldn't eat, and I learned this 20 years in program. I actually was a bulimic drunk. I always prided myself that I never threw up with the food. But when I drank because I didn't eat, I would vomit. And within 6 months, I lost 25 pounds. So then I was off WeightCheck. Wow, the magic bullet, another magic bullet for Loretta. So anyway, That went on for 10 years, and I kept my weight down. And then my sister, I actually had a severe blackout in my house and actually was hospitalized. And this is part of my story because it's part of the eating disorder. And the night I came home from my flight and she was in the hospital, I went upstairs and I really wanted to drink more than I wanted anything else. And God said, "Nope, you're not going to drink." And that was a spiritual experience. I did not realize any of this. I did not go to AA. She went to AA. The first AA meeting she came home from, I was actually passed out on the couch from binging on everything in my house. That's how quickly I switched seats in the Titanic. So for the next, I don't know how many years, I floundered in this disease, floundered terribly. In 19, and like I said, I can identify much more in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous with the food than I ever could with the, I haven't had a drink in 54 years, no, 55 now. But my eating disorder
15 minutes.
is much more prevalent in all the stories than my alcoholism ever was. So in about, I think it was probably, I had run marathons. I had tried everything to keep the weight down, and I kind of succeeded. But my brother-in-law, who is now celebrates 55 years in AA, actually told me to go to OA. So I went to OA, and I thought I was recovered. I had a perfect food plan. I did everything. But what was missing is that spiritual connection. It talks about more about Jim's story, Fred's story. I came in for the weight, and I got very anorexic, almost to a point of getting sick, where my company actually did an intervention on me, sent me to an eating disorder specialist, and then it was, a fly epidemic, so I couldn't carry my weight and measured food in and out of security. And it went into, it went out of commission, the whole thing. And I just basically floundered in the disease. And like I said, the crazy, I got in two car accidents with this disease because one time I blacked out, from not binging, but from not eating. And then I also went out at 3 o'clock in the morning to run off some food I had eaten, and I was attacked and all of this stuff. And so I've done the gamut in the Big Book in my eating disorder. In 2001, my dad, who was the alcoholic, came, or he wanted me to come to California because he was dying in California. And I, at that time, I've lived in New York and Chicago for United. And I couldn't come because I couldn't stop binging, because he wanted to make amends to me between the amends, the guilt I felt, and the shame I felt. And not, I didn't feel hate for him anymore. I just felt so much pity, but I couldn't get there. And he wanted to make amends, and I did not get on the airplane, and I had free passes. And that just drove me into the spiral of this disease. I could not stop binging. Everything I tried before went totally, totally, totally out the window. And I had gone to those eating disorder specialists. I even lied to them. I mean, it was everything, because I hadn't didn't have that spiritual awareness that the only one that can help me is something bigger than me. And I thought I was bigger than everybody, whether it was my weight or my ego or whatever. I thought I was in charge. And so when he died, like I said, I couldn't function. In fact, I actually even had a stress fracture in my femur, which is unheard of from trying to run all the food off for many, many, many decades. Long story short, I was actually, and it talks about that's why I can identify where Bill is putting the sash on himself, wanting to jump out of this window in New York City. And that was me. I wanted to jump out of my window. And my husband was trying to find me a psychiatrist because it was the beginning of the year. And nobody was available because they were all had their clients ready. So a spiritual experience happened. So I'm going to meet this woman in Central Park after Christmas. She's of a different religion. So her religion does a different time than our religion. So her holidays were different than mine. So we met on January 6th to run around Central Park. So this woman, this is all God. This is all God. This woman, her, who became my first sponsor, is we're running, and she says, "What you have for breakfast?" And I said, "What are you talking about? Why are we talking about breakfast? I don't eat breakfast." So anyway, then she goes to mile three or four, and she says to me, and she rattles off what had a 4 ounces of orange juice and if we can mention food. Anyway, she told me her food plan. So I said, "Well, I don't eat breakfast." So at the end of the run, and this was all again God, she says to me, "I'm an Overeaters Anonymous. Would you be willing to give me your food today?" What did I have to lose? I didn't have, I mean, it was like, whatever, nothing else worked. I might as well try you again. So I actually, and I say this, it was the first honest day of work I ever did with food, because I've lied about food until this at $500 a pop to an eating disorder specialist, everything. But it was like, okay, I gave her my food. And basically, and she was a nutritionist. So she actually came to my home 3 days later and took out all the ingredients. I did weigh and measure my food initially. I do not today because I have no portion control after 23 years. But I'm very respectful of food. Everything I put in my mouth is a privilege. And I don't abuse that privilege or I'll lose that privilege. And I still do send out a food plan, especially during the holidays, because it can be tricky with the family, friends, food, and family. So I around when it's really necessary, I still send my food to somebody. And she doesn't care if I eat an elephant. And that's joking, but it's for my accountability and honesty. I found out the food plan is not for anybody else but me. And just to be accountable and honest for the first time in my life, especially when it came to food. So then I meet this woman. The other thing about she has 52 years of abstinence now. That's she had a lot when I met her, and she's about my age, so she came into the program pretty young. But not only was she a nutritionist, but she had never had a drink before. This had to be all what I call God sightings today. After we ran every single day, and we ran together for 2 years, that I actually she went to big book meetings at the Y in New York City to get what I learned and have learned that this book will solve all your problems. And I use the tools. The tools are fabulous. The tools are, and I use prayer meditation from other places. But this book is the answer to all my problems. It showed me how to live because of the steps. It's given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I've had some tragedies in, since I've been in 2007, my husband's brother actually committed suicide. I had my mother-in-law died, and all those things. But I didn't have to eat over any of this. And another miracle is that during the pandemic, I didn't want to get the shot because I'm very allergic to it, any type of stuff, any vaccine, but I decided to do it because my husband's 87 and it actually paralyzed me. So during that time, I'm good now. It another God sighting. During that time, I was so distraught that I actually wanted to drink. Thank God for this book. Thank God for sponsorship. Thank God for everything. And I hadn't, by then, I think it was 40 plus years that I hadn't, but I wanted to drink because I couldn't use the food. I knew that that would make it even worse. And I didn't feel like eating because I was scared of bejesus. And, but thank God, this is another. So this woman calls me up and she says, I hear you're a sponsor. And I said, oh, I'm in a really bad place. But tell me what your story is. And this is why I went keep it green, Greenpeace. So she tells me, and this is another God sighting spiritual experience. She had picked up alcohol after 35 years and was face down in the food now too. So I'm like, oh my God. I mean, could and that I actually went to AA after that because and I've done the steps in AA, but my primary purpose and my primary disease is this disease. And so I
5 minutes.
just thank you. So I just want to share, and this is for the plea. I came in as an agnostic. Don't get bristly about the word God. I used my sponsor for the first couple years to be my higher power. It can be anything. So please don't get bristly about the word God. But today I have a God in my life and I know he saved my life. And I know you all have too. But on page 53, where they say God is everything or he is nothing. And I believe that I need God, because that and you and the work is what keeps me spiritually fit. And I have a spiritual malady. I have an ism. I have the icks. I'm an alcoholic, anorexic, icky eater. So that is what, and that's what I have to treat every day. The main thing it says on 93 is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself, that he lived by spiritual principles. And that's what actually my spirit it's today. I live a principled day. And that gives me, and they're kind of love, honesty, authenticity, and usefulness. That is my action plan for each day. And also, there's a long period of reconstruction on page 83. And I use that starting from there until 88. That is my action plan every day. And it'll tell you how to live each day. And you can do that even before you go through all your steps, because that is the action plan for everybody that has this disease, because it will be, you will become more efficient, you will become more effective, and you will have something bigger than you directing what I call God's positioning system. You have a GPS that works when nothing else does. So please, yeah. And so, and then the other, oh, okay. And the other thing, more about it. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all your problems. So today, this is where I really believe that. And I use step three, I use it as my trust fund, turning my thinking and my actions. That is my will. No, that doesn't work. Only God's. And the actions, that's my life. And when I do that, miracles happen. The thing with the COVID shot, everything has turned out. peachy keen, but not, you know, I've had, like I said, I've had, but every time you have a rough spot or a tough spot, you can use those steps with it. I just did a 5 on 2 people in program because they really push my buttons and I don't want to eat over it or drink over it. So you can go through those steps. I go through them probably twice a year because they're just making me better. And there's one last thing I'm gonna, God loves me today just as I am, but never ever will prevent me from getting better. And that is what this program gives to me every day. And you guys are saving my life because you're working it too alongside of me. We're holding each other's hand. Until I could love myself, you love me. And until you can love yourself, we love you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Loretta.